Friends, Matthew chapter 13, please. If you had your Bible open there, that would be really helpful. One of the things we want to be clear about in our times together here on Sundays is that we are very serious about learning together. Yes, we love seeing each other. Yes, we love catching up. Yes, one day we might even love singing together, you never know. But we understand that the careful, thoughtful listening to the Bible's teaching is very important. That, of course, is why we bring our Bibles to church, don't we? Yes, exactly. And that is why we're glad for people to see us bringing our Bibles to church. Because we want to be, we're glad to be learners. Not in a boring, merely academic kind of way, but the words of this book are the words of God to us. And as we listen, we believe that God himself speaks these words to us. And as we listen, we learn the truth about him, the truth about us, the truth about life, the truth about the world. Now, learners sometimes get homework, and serious learners do their homework. Now, here's this week's homework, and I really, really hope that you will take some time to do it in the coming week. And it is to read carefully through Matthew chapter 13 that we've been working through over a number of weeks. And as you read through Matthew chapter 13, being reminded of the things we've been learning, make a note of what you have learnt in these 6 weeks that we've been listening to this chapter. Because tonight we come to the last scene in Matthew chapter 13, and the heading I've chosen is, Can Jesus Be Too Familiar? Okay, follow it with me from Matthew chapter 13 and verse 53. And when Jesus had finished these parables, he went away from there. And coming to his hometown, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offence at him. But Jesus said to them, A prophet is not without honour except in his hometown and in his own household. And he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. The title that we've given to our studies in Matthew, as Matt mentioned a little bit earlier on, as we've been working through this chapter, this term, the title we've given to the whole series is Getting the Real Jesus. We understand, of course, that the claims that are made in the Bible about Jesus Christ are remarkable. Just as remarkable, of course, as the claims that he made about himself. And we're reading Matthew's record of Jesus and his life in order to grasp the real Jesus. I wonder if you can remember, it was quite some time ago because we've been working our way on and off through Matthew's gospel for a few years now. But at the beginning of chapter 11, I wonder if anyone can remember back that far, John the Baptist, who was in prison, sent a message to Jesus, and it was, Are you the one? The one we are looking for? The one we're hoping for? Or should we be looking for someone else? And that, I think, is the question that echoes through the following chapters. Are you the one? And by the time we got to the end of Matthew chapter 11, we heard Jesus' invitation. I wonder if you remember this. Come to me, all who labour under heavy burden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, that invitation at the end of chapter 11 was one of the answers to John the Baptist's question at the beginning of chapter 11. Yes, I am the one. Come to me. And then as we turned the page to chapter 12, again, still some time ago, in chapter 12 we saw the conflict that arose with those who refused to get it. Most of the chapter describes conflicts with the Pharisees about the Sabbath, about the power by which Jesus was healing people, about their demand for a sign from him and his refusal to give them a sign. And by the time you get to the end of chapter 12, even his own family seemed to be among those who did not get him. All this would have been taking place in and around the town of Capernaum on the northern side of Lake Galilee. And then this term we saw how in chapter 13 we get a description of that same day, you remember, when Jesus went down to the shore of the lake and began teaching the crowds in parables, in riddles. They didn't understand. Deep down, they didn't really want to understand, and so all he gave them was riddles. But you remember, there were some who did want to know. They were the ones who responded to that invitation of Jesus, and they came to him. Matthew called them the learners, or the disciples. And to them, Jesus explained the parables, the riddles. And we've been hearing that over these weeks. They were given the secret of what Jesus called the kingdom of heaven. And they learnt. And last week we saw how those who came to Jesus wanting to learn could answer his extraordinary question, I think, in chapter 13, verse 51. It's the sort of question that I really could be put to us as we come to the end of this chapter. Have you understood all these things? It doesn't really mean have you fully and completely understood all these things, but have you been listening? Have you been learning? And they said, do you remember? Yeah, we have. Now, I do hope that as we have listened to the teaching of Jesus, not like the crowds of basically uninterested people, but as learners, that we too have come to an understanding. We've been learning that Jesus is the one, that his invitation, come to me, is worth heeding. And that the secret of the kingdom of heaven is to be found in him. Well, now we come to chapter 13, verse 53. Jesus' time up there in Capernaum is over. And he returned to his hometown, that would be Nazareth, up in the hills. And there we witness this little scene at the end of the chapter, which I'd like us to look carefully at tonight. Really three glimpses we get. I put it under these sort of headings. First, Jesus' movement from Capernaum up to Nazareth. We're going to think about that for a moment. Then secondly, the reaction to him there in Nazareth. We'll think about that for a few minutes. And then finally, we'll see Jesus' response to their reaction. And let's see what we learn. Firstly then, the movement from Capernaum to Nazareth in verses 53 and the beginning of 54. In verse 53, we're told that Jesus had finished these parables. He'd finished teaching the crowds these riddles, and he'd finished his explanations of the riddles to the learners who came to him with their questions, and he moved on from there. As you read the Gospels, you see that Jesus was always moving on, and there was a positive side to that. There were other towns in which he wanted to preach and teach the news of the kingdom. But in this case, there was something rather tragic about his moving on, his departure from Capernaum. And I think it's sort of hinted at in those words, he went away from there. The tragedy was that what he had said and what he had done in and around Capernaum had been taken in by very few. The vast majority did not get him. Sometime earlier, indeed, Jesus had said back in chapter 11 and verse 23, "And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained to this day. But I tell you that it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you." And you might remember how there in Capernaum Jesus quoted the words of Isaiah in chapter 13 that we've been looking at in verse 15. "For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed." And Jesus would not persist forever with those who did not want to know. And so here in verse 53 we're told, he went away from there. And verse 54 tells us that he came to his hometown, that is Nazareth, up in the hills to the southwest of Lake Galilee. As far as we can tell from Matthew's record, Jesus had not been in Nazareth for quite some time. It was back in chapter 4, indeed, that Jesus left Nazareth and went to live in Capernaum. That was when he began his public teaching and preaching. And a whole lot has happened since then. He's made quite an impact through the whole country. But now he came back home. But it wasn't for a break. See verse 54? He taught them in their synagogue. I hope that we've got a clear picture of Jesus that each of the Gospels gives us, as opposed to the imaginary picture that many people have in their minds. And I think the imaginary picture that many have in their minds begins with children's picture books, which has all got to do with what you see. Now, what Jesus did wherever he went was teach. His reputation was first and foremost as a teacher. I'd really like to impress this on you and do this by asking you to flip back with me. We're just going to look at a number of... Go back to chapter 4. Don't lose your place in chapter 13. We'll get back there in a moment. Go back to chapter 4 of Matthew and verse 23 and just follow some of these references with me. 4 verse 23. "And he went throughout all Galilee teaching in their synagogues." Chapter 5 verse 2. "And he opened his mouth and taught them." Over to chapter 7, verse 28. "And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowd were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes." Over the page to chapter 8, verse 19. "And a scribe came up to him, 'Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go.'" Again, chapter 9, verse 11, "When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, 'Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?'" Same chapter, 9, verse 35, "Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues." Chapter 11, verse 1, "When Jesus had finished instructing his disciples, he went from there to teach and preach in their cities." Chapter 12, verse 38, Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered him, saying, "Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you." You get the picture? Now, to be sure, of course, there were healings and there were other extraordinary actions, but those things added to his reputation, yes, but it was a reputation as a teacher. And the crowds came again and again. They came to hear him. And that is what he was still doing as he came back to Nazareth in chapter 13, verse 54. He taught them. However, there is possibly a subtle hint here in verse 54 that all was not well in Nazareth. He taught them in their synagogue. It's a bit subtle and perhaps overly subtle, and perhaps I'm overreading it. But this is not the first time that Matthew has hinted in this way that there is a certain distance between Jesus and the people. It was their synagogue. But they came and they listened. So Jesus has moved from Capernaum to Nazareth. Second, let's have a look at the reaction to him there in Nazareth. Verse 54, they were astonished. That's a sort of mildish translation, really. The word is very strong. What they heard simply blew their minds. And their astonishment is put into words there in verse 54. You see, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Notice again, the first thing that draws comment from them is his wisdom. What they had heard astonished them. Now, I think this is really quite difficult for us to appreciate. I don't know whether you've heard anyone and you've been astonished at their teaching, but that was the reaction again and again to people who heard Jesus. We are told over and over again that those who heard him were staggered by what they heard. Back in chapter 7, in those verses that I read a moment ago, it was the authority with which he spoke that astonished them. They'd never heard anyone speak with such authority. Now, I don't think that means he shouted a lot, but wisdom here, I think, conveys the same sort of idea. He spoke, and as you listen to him, he spoke as someone who absolutely knew what he was talking about. And what he was talking about was the kingdom of heaven, the rule of heaven, the authority and the power of God. Many people spoke about God in those days. There are many people who speak about God today. But no one spoke as Jesus spoke. No one had ever heard such wisdom, such evidently authoritative knowledge. And when they heard him, they were astonished. And of course, they were astonished at his mighty works too. We're not told that Jesus actually healed anyone there that day or anything like that, but they'd heard about what he had done. It didn't occur to them in those days to doubt that the things Jesus did were amazing, mighty works. Their question was, where did this wisdom and power come from? It's a good question. Listen to what Jesus says. Listen to his teaching. Observe what he does. And the question is, where did this man get these things? His extraordinary wisdom and his remarkable power, well, they were undeniable. Nobody then denied those things. They saw them. They heard them with their own eyes and ears. But they were perplexing. Where did he get this from? Where did this wisdom and power? He's not a scholar. Hasn't been to Moore College. He has no qualifications to speak of. And yet they had never heard anything like the wisdom of his teaching. And they had never seen anything like the power of his works. Now, it's a very sensible question. Where did he get these things? Arising out of their understandable astonishment. And that question could have, indeed it should have, led to a certain humility. Some kind of respect for the one who so astonished them. Some willingness to listen to him and learn from him. Wouldn't you think? But it didn't. I think we can relate to this. No one really likes to have their thinking and understanding of things challenged. This is especially true when you get settled into adult life. I don't know whether you've noticed that, but most of us, as we get into adult life, think we know everything. Mind you, I did have a 3-year-old once who thought he knew everything, but he soon grew out of that. He went to school. But we don't welcome anything that disturbs our comfort zone, that throws out of balance our confidence and our self-confidence and our confidence in our views of things and our views of life and our views of the world. You even see this, I want to suggest, among those who have become familiar with Jesus. It's so easy to say, yes, Jesus is astonishing, but not to become humble learners, not to sit at his feet, so to speak, to listen. We can still think that we know what we need to know. We've got it. We might find ourselves listening to sermons like this. We might even be people who read our Bibles, even perhaps quite regularly, but are we humble learners? Conscious that we have much to learn? See what Jesus' teaching was doing to these people in Nazareth? Here was someone saying things and doing things so powerfully that they did not fit the way that they had learned to think. They did not fit with what they valued. They did not fit with what mattered to them, what they thought they knew. And that's precisely what Jesus does today to anyone who will listen to him at all with astonishing wisdom and understanding and insight and authority. Jesus speaks to us of God's place, God's rule, God's ways. That's what he meant by, well, that's part at least of what he meant by his repeated phrase, the kingdom of heaven. And how important that is, how valuable that is, how nothing else matters like the kingdom of heaven matters. We've heard some of his teaching over these last few weeks. Have you been listening? Are you at all disturbed? Are you astonished? The good people in Nazareth heard him. They were astonished and asked themselves where he got all this. But they couldn't bring themselves to listen and learn. Why? Well, because they knew too much already, or thought they did. Listen to them in verse 55. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother called Mary? And aren't his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? Do you see how they clung to their familiar, comfortable knowledge? They fitted Jesus into their well-known categories. He's the carpenter's boy, isn't he? We know him well. Look, we saw him grow up. We watched him as he grew. We know his mum. We know his brothers and sisters. So we know him. He's no mystery to us. We can fit him into what we already know. We don't have to sit at his feet. We don't have to learn from him. But where do you think he got all this stuff? Do you see how by the time they ask that question the second time in verse 56, in the light of how well they know him, it sort of sounds dismissive, don't you think? Where did this man get all these things? Their problem was that they did know a great deal about Jesus. Many, many things. No doubt they knew a whole lot of things we don't know. They knew the colour of his eyes. But they knew so much that they were ignorant. What they knew actually held them back from being real learners. And so do you come to this striking phrase in verse 57, they took offence at him. They took offence at him. They were astonished, but they knew so much that they took offence at him. Instead of saying, in the light of the astonishing wisdom and power that confronted them in Jesus, hey, I might have something to learn from Jesus. Something I don't already know. Something I need to understand, but don't understand. Instead of a touch of humility before this amazing teacher, they took offence that someone they knew so well should presume to teach them with such wisdom and power. And I think as we look back at these people in Nazareth, very easy to criticise them, isn't it? But I've been thinking about, as many of us have, I suppose, it's hard not to think about it really, how we are living in an age where, goodness me, watch the people in Nazareth take offence. They seem pretty modern, don't they? Taking offence in our day has been developed into an art form. It's become quite bizarre, as you'd be aware with some of the stuff that we see. People are taking offence at almost anything. They take offence, people take offence at almost anything they do not agree with or don't like. They take offence. And when someone takes offence, then you are considered the guilty one for giving offence. And you need to apologise and you need to keep quiet. And out of that, we've got the whole cancel culture thing that people are talking about. And at least many situations, taking offence has become a way of not listening. Not listening to something I do not want to hear. Or even just can't be bothered hearing. And it has become pretty common. A pretty common way to respond to the wisdom and authority of Jesus Christ. People take offence. Rather than humbly listen. And the wisdom and the authority of Jesus Christ is being silenced in our society as people take offence. And friends, it is not good. Just like that day in Nazareth. Just our sort of contemporary version of the same thing. They took offence at him. Well, thirdly, Jesus' response to their reaction comes in verses 57 and verse 58. See, our passage concludes with a comment from Jesus about the offence taking and then a concluding comment by Matthew. Let's just take those in turn. Jesus said to them in verse 57, listen to this, a prophet is not without honour except in his hometown and in his own household. You see, it's the other way round to what you'd expect. in other spheres of life, you know, the hero is nowhere more honoured than in his hometown. Isn't that right? The international sporting star loves nothing more than playing in front of the home crowd. I mean, there he's appreciated, really appreciated. But, said Jesus, it's not like that with a prophet. That is, it's not like that with somebody who brings you the word of God. The kind of knowledge that the hometown crowd has, the kind of familiarity that the locals think they have, is an obstacle, not a help, to appreciating the prophet. And they cannot give him appropriate honour, honour due to a prophet, because they think they already know all they need to know. Now, of course, we don't live in Nazareth. We didn't watch Jesus grow up. But as I've been thinking about this, I'm not sure that we're all that far away from Nazareth. See, we belong to a church where we hear a lot about Jesus. Perhaps you're one of those people who speaks readily about Jesus. His name comes to your lips easily. You know him. You're familiar with him. You've got the gospel worked out. You can say it down pat. And your opinions, they're very clear. Your views are very clear. You know Jesus. Do take care that you are not fitting Jesus into your familiar knowledge. Be careful that you don't start thinking that you know him so well that you no longer need to be astonished. Beware that you are not fitting Jesus into your ways of thinking and living. Instead of humbly listening and learning from him, it is possible that our familiarity with Jesus can be a stumbling block, leading to overconfidence in our opinions, a certain kind of arrogance, you know. Do be careful. Well, Matthew concludes our passage tonight in verse 58, and he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. They knew so much about him that they couldn't believe in him. Their inability to be humble learners is called out for what it is: unbelief. Their familiarity with Jesus became, in effect, or effectively, I should say, rejection of him and all that he could have done for them. It's a terrible thing to be so familiar with Jesus that you do not humbly receive him as he really is and learn from him. What's your response to the wisdom and the power of Jesus Christ? Will you be a learner? Or are you one of those who thinks they know what they need to know? Do take care. Let's pray together. Our dear God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you for this scene that we've witnessed today as he returned home to Nazareth. As we watched the crowd there who were so confident that they knew him. And as we watch them, keep us from being superior and judgmental and looking down on them, but help us to learn from their mistake, that we might be, today and for the rest of our lives, humble learners before this mighty teacher. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.